Let's bring in our guests this morning, who are Stephen Merchant and Warwick Davison. Here they come. Here's Warwick.
Hello.
Hi, Warwick. There's Stephen.
Hello.
Wow, look at this.
Here we are.
Look at these two.
And there you are.
And here I am.
Do we need to put these on, Chris?
You don't need to, but you've been in a radio studio before, you know.
Yeah, but I don't like the headphones.
Do you not wear them?
My voice.
And don't wear them.
You don't have to wear them.
Put them on the floor so they don't feedback. Come on, play the game.
Right, let's get going. Here we go. Off we go. Let the zaniness commence.
So Warwick and Stephen are here because they have their TV show on a Thursday night on BBC Two, Life's Too Short, featuring Warwick Davis.
Thank you.
Fine actor.
That's very nice of you, Chris.
He is.
Yeah.
Star of Return of the Jedi, Willow.
Yep.
Extras.
Mm-hmm.
That weirdly doesn't get mentioned much. But he was in it.
I was in Extras, yeah. I had an episode with Mr. Daniel Radcliffe.
I see that.
And slipped his hands.
Yes, of course.
And now, did you, Stephen, when you and Ricky were writing, did you watch Celebrity Scissorhands and think...
That's the guy for us.
Yeah.
Something in this.
We need to go and get him.
I don't think I've ever seen Celebrity Scissorhands. Oh, I'm ashamed
what?
To say.
You missed out.
I know. Now, this was what? This was somewhat... This was a kind of barber...
It was a BBC Three reality show, a celebrity reality show.
I don't know how you don't even know about
that. Sorry about that.
Set as in a hairdressing studio.
Right.
For children in need.
Yeah.
Mm.
And just point that out.
You cut people's hair?
What? Yes.
Well, yeah, for three, was it 3 weeks we did it for? Weeks, yeah. We worked in a, you know, we did a living, breathing salon.
Well, you had to sort of sweep up hair.
Sweep up,
yeah.
Make
want a cup
tea,
of tea.
Make
what are you doing
tea.
At the weekend? Yeah. Something special?
All that stuff.
Alan would literally rush from here to the salon, and then you'd go and do like a full shift.
This is how I got to know Warwick so well.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm amazed you don't know about this.
I think I vaguely remember. I don't remember watching it religiously. Was it something you couldn't take your eyes off?
Some BBC show. Yeah. Huge.
It was huge. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
And it was star-studded.
Go on.
Oh, I can't remember who else was in it.
Sure.
Tara Para.
Tara Para.
You're right.
Tara Para was in it.
Lee Stafford.
Who, sorry?
Lee Stafford.
You know Lee Stafford, right? Celebrity
hairdresser.
He was kind of like the mentor.
I see.
He's a professional hairdresser, and he taught everyone how to cut
hair. Can I get copies of this? Because it sounds
I've got all the DVDs, a full set.
Warwick's got a Sky Plus box with just full.
Yeah.
No, I did have until it broke recently, and I had to lose it all.
You should always back it up. Get a recordable DVD player from Richer Sounds. That's the way forward.
Okay.
I'm telling you. That's what you got to do. And on one of the episodes, Stephen, Warwick waxed a bit of Dave's bum.
He did, yeah.
Yes.
Not many men have seen me naked from the waist down, but Warwick, you're in that exclusive club.
And I signed it, didn't I?
Sorry, can I just ask? I mean, I thought it was pretty... But how desperate were you to be on TV?
Well,
you were willing to have your...
Well, you see, it may come across as being desperate, or it may be that I was doing them a massive favour.
Yeah, charity.
I was supporting it because it was, for the kids.
Right.
I asked that everyone on the team came on at some point... And Dave didn't want us to touch his hair on his head.
Sure.
So he went for the hair on his bum.
Yeah.
Did you go on, Chris?
No.
Okay.
That was so ridiculous. I popped in to see them and said hello.
Right. Flipped through the magazines.
Well, not even that. It was it was quicker than that. I went in to say hello and that was it. And then we all went on the last night.
Well, they can't fully remember the live show.
But we turned up, we were a bit drunk. It was like an awards ceremony the last night.
Yeah. That Alid was in the final, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah. With Gina.
Ninia.
Yeah.
Ninia Benjamin.
Ninia
Benjamin.
Is that a celebrity?
Well.
She's a comedian.
Okay.
She was up and coming.
Okay.
I believe. And she won.
She did.
Yeah.
I was gutted.
No, I can imagine.
I tried really hard.
But they had a charity auction for children in need, and I got some flights to New York and some luggage. So, everybody won in the end.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which was really nice.
You in particular, yeah.
I can't believe you've not seen this.
Sorry about that.
Warwick will be there on a stool, cutting someone's hair, going anywhere nice on your holidays.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Short back and sides, yeah. Speciality.
What would you like? Well, what do you suggest? Let me have a little look. Well.
But it wasn't like that. We had to learn all of that sort of, consultation, they called it.
Consultation.
You have to have all the patter, don't you?
That's true.
Well, I actually had to
a Hippocratic oath. You won't share information that is said in the salon with anyone else.
You have all of that. But I had to cut Derek Acora's hair, but I didn't know it was Derek Acora. That was what was fun. I thought he was some football manager, because that's what he looks like.
Right.
So I'm cutting his hair, and Lee's talking to him. And I thought, why is he talking about ghosts all the time to him? You know, guys should know about football, really.
Does Derek Acora never take a day off from talking about ghosts?
He's 24/7.
He's having his haircut. He's whittling on about ghosts.
I gave him an eyebrow trim.
Is that what you did?
Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
Trimmed his eyebrows for
with the scissors,
of course.
Not with the hedge clippers.
No. So it's very. You have to be very careful when you do that because you can.
And then people would tip or pay what they deemed it would be the appropriate amount, and that money would go to Children in Need. I'm right in saying you didn't take any money.
No, we didn't take any money. No. It was all there.
And have you continued to cut hair at all, or was that it?
Never. Haven't picked up scissors since.
Really?
It terrifies me. Honestly, it was terrifying to do it every time you sat down and. You know, it's very precious people's hair,
yeah,
isn't it?
Of course.
You could do Stevens.
Can I just ask something? Are we going to talk about a show that was on BBC Three however many years ago
it
for the
amazing.
Whole...
Listen.
I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't a scintillating show, but it's not the subject that's on everyone's lips, Chris.
It is.
How rude.
It is. When they see Warwick and Life's Too Short, they go, that's the Celebrity Scissorhands guy.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
And then they get the DVDs out and watch. And I have your hat. Anyway. All right, let's talk about Life's Too Short then. Oh, God.
No. Oh, it's fine. Your show. You talk about whatever you want, boy.
Yeah, we're talking about everything. I love the adverts.
Oh, cool. Thanks very much.
I like the adverts.
Appreciate that. Thanks, yeah.
It's really good.
Other adverts are available, though.
I know, but not with you on.
That's true.
Is there more to come? Are you signed up for, like, a series?
No, I don't know what's happening next.
Will they get recommissioned? I don't know how that works.
I think I've done it for a while now, you know. That's paid for the parents' cruise.
Do you write those yourself?
Just go in and just talk.
Right,
you know.
Just reading the script.
Well, there's a lot of ad-libbing, but the first 50 minutes is unusable filth.
Right.
And then they extract what
I'd like to see that.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. That might make me bank with them.
Exactly.
A little bit more. Mm.
Bank.
So the show's on Thursday nights on BBC Two. And we spoke to you about this, I'm sure, when you were on last April, Warren.
Yeah, I mean, it's been in development for some time. These things take a long time to write. Obviously, Rick and Stephen were working on it for about
hours.
6 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Each half-hour episode would take how long to write?
Half a day if we were really motoring.
Yeah. It's good, though.
Thanks for that.
You've really got that down now.
Appreciate it, yeah.
Yeah. And were you involved, Warwick, in the writing process, or was it left to the boys?
Well, they wrote it, but I mean, we did have lots of discussion about, you know, what it's like to be a short person in the world today, and and all sorts of funny things happen to me, you know, daily. And so some of those little anecdotes Rick and Steve could take and then create, you know, a scene from that by distorting elements of it and what have you. There's quite a lot of truth in the series.
When you were writing, was there anything, any ideas that you came up with or any gags that you were like, yeah, we can't do that. That's too much. And then Warwick goes, that's funny. You can do that. What's wrong with that?
Well, I think certainly, particularly when we were filming, you know, Warwick would sort of be happy to make even more of a fool of himself than we were hoping for. I mean, particularly when it came to falling out of cars.
Well, which is lovely.
He relished the falling out of the cars. He would work secretly with the stuntman to then charm us with yet another tumble out of a 4x4.
But it's a good tumble. It's
tremendous.
It's a controlled fall.
Yeah.
Because you open the door and you go, but you hang on.
Well, yeah, you sort of grab, don't you? If you start to slip and you're falling out of a car that's huge, then naturally you grab hold of whatever you can.
What have you got, a Range Rover in the show?
It's not particularly
some
that.
Kind of 4x4.
Yeah,
it's like a big vehicle.
Cheap.
But there's an episode coming up where Warwick refuses to allow someone to reach something down from a high shelf, and as sort of part of the character's motivation, he feels he has to climb the shelf himself. And so Warwick climbs this bookshelf, and at some points gets himself in. I mean, is it the splits that you're doing?
I don't know how I did it. When I watch it back, I'm like contorted into the splits on these shelves in positions that I didn't know I could manage.
And that's you. That's not a stuntman.
No, it's all me.
You do your own work.
There isn't anyone to double me. It's very difficult to do.
Well,
so
there's only one you.
But it was... absolutely. It was great doing some slapstick. You don't see it that much in comedy now. And some of my comedy heroes are Laurel and Hardy and what have you. So it was really nice to kind of have a go at that sort of thing. And it kind of fits in with the character very well. You know, he does like to have a go, and it, you know, his car's too big for him.
He shouldn't have bought a 4x4.
No.
Yeah,
exactly.
Do you know what I don't like about the show?
Go on then.
I don't like the fact that the character of Warwick Davis is a little bit sad. And that makes me a bit sad.
He's got a small man.
Enough, I can hear it in your throat.
No, but like, and I'm genuine now.
You're breaking up a little bit.
I'm not. Well, not really. I'll get over it. But like, you know, I felt a bit sad the other day, and then I'm like, yeah, but it's Johnny Depp, so that's funny.
Yeah.
Because when we spoke about it, I had a different idea in my head to what it would be like.
Yeah.
So then when it comes on, I'm like, oh, poor Warwick. You know, he's a bit sad in it. And I didn't like that.
Oh.
You know, I didn't like
it. It's all right, really. It's not real.
And, you know, you charge £25 for a signed picture. I think it's way too much money.
How much do you normally charge?
Oh, at least a 10. Yeah. 10, really.
About 10
at least a tenner.
Tenner. At least a tenner.
And are there negotiable rates?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. It's for good cause.
Have you really done that? Have you done the signing thing?
I've done events. You know, they have the huge Star Wars events that come over here from America and things. And it's fun to go and meet the fans sometimes. You know,
sometimes
keep them at a safe distance and all that. But no, it's great. I like getting involved because being a film actor, you know, it's not like you're on stage and you're getting the applause. It's great to meet people and say, you know, what do you think of what I'm doing? And, you know, they'll tell you straight whether they like it or not.
Mm.
So it's fun. But we do parody that a little bit in the show as well.
Stephen, do you like meeting the fans?
I adore the fans, Chris. I do it for the fans. That's currently why I'm on my stand-up tour, of course, is a chance to get out there and just interact with people.
Are you doing a tour at the moment?
Doing a stand-up comedy tour. Are you kidding me?
Since August.
I'm exhausted. You're lucky to have me here, I tell you.
He's still got Dublin and Bradford to play.
I know this, because I actually saw you on the one show.
Don't you worry. It's in there. I read my notes.
Yeah.
And his first ever stand-up comedy DVD.
I know this too, because it was on the one show.
That's out now.
Yes.
What was on the one show?
All this.
I might just regurgitate the one show.
No,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Really, it's time for me to go home if that's all
I'm
doing.
Let's have an item on Scotch eggs, Dan.
Yeah.
And Giles Brandreth can talk about peers.
He went to steam train, Stephen. Do you like a good steam train?
Of course I do. He doesn't like a steam train.
And the other question is why is Ricky not here?
The chances of getting Gervais up at this time of the day. Has he ever been on here?
But
no.
He's never been on.
No, he wasn't. I've never seen him up this early. I swear to goodness.
But
he's never been up this
early. According to Twitter, he's filming with Carl.
Possibly so, but he still won't be up this early. They will not start filming before midday, I'd have thought.
He's not a morning person.
He's not a morning person or an evening person. Now he likes sort of between sort of 11 and 3. That's
well, this would be why he does Greg's show, because that's perfect for him.
That is his morning show. So when you write with Ricky, I would imagine you are the kind of sensible, we need to get this job done.
Pencil case. Yeah, never forget it.
But no, I would imagine...
He's like, can I borrow a scrap of paper? I haven't got a pen. He's that sort of kid.
In the TV show, obviously you guys have an office. I take it that's not your office.
Our office. No.
But you have an office that you... Do you write
that's
in that together?
Yes, we do.
So that is your workplace.
Yes.
So you would say, we need to do a rewrite of whatever.
Yep.
Second episode, if I'm too short. So, I'll see you there, tomorrow at 11, says you?
That's right.
And he would be there at...
No, he would be there at 11, because the one thing about him is he's obsessed with being on time. He's absolutely obsessed with
it. He's always there early, so if you then arrive on time, you're then late.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like a power thing.
I don't know if it's a power thing. I think it's just, it's anal.
Right. Like, I'm so used to it now. I was here at 7 o'clock this morning for this.
Well, you both were an hour early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, and he's not even here, so you could have been late.
Exactly.
You could have actually gone, you know what, we'll just relish the fact that Ricky's not here to chastise us.
But you know, there's GMT, he has RGT.
Right.
It's Ricky Gervais time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
see, that surprises me. I would have thought he'd have been a late man.
No, he's never late. No. Never late. Furious if you're late. I mean, honestly.
See, I'm a late man.
Yeah.
I'm always late.
You always run, yeah.
But you see, do you know what that is, Chris? That is the presumption that your life is more important than everyone else's.
It's not.
It's exactly that. It's like, well, I can show up late because although I've made a plan to be here at 7...
No.
Screw them. You know, I'll breeze in when I want to.
No, it's not.
I'm the star of the show.
Well, I am. But two things. Number one, when you pointed at me then, it went on that camera and your hand looked massive against Warwick. It looked like Warwick was doing that Kenny Everett character with the big hands. But no... I watched an Oprah Winfrey show about this years ago.
Okay, well, this is fact then.
So there is obviously Americans can come up with a condition for everything.
Sure.
And they discussed this in great length.
And what's it called then?
I can't remember, but this is all honest. It's genuine. Because I thought I was just crap with my timings.
Yes.
And they had people on, and they said, so are you one of these people that does this? Are you one of the people that does that? And it's on in the background. I'm going, I am one of those people. If you've got to be somewhere that's 10 minutes away, as long as you leave before the time you're meant to be there, you're not running late. So even if you leave at 5:02, you're not really late.
Well, you are late, though, if you live 10 minutes away.
And I'm thinking, no, I do think that. That's what I think like. I have no concept of time, though, at all. I really don't.
I just think this is sort of a lazy man's excuse. I think it's an arrogant lazy man's excuse. It's sort of, you know, if you wanted to be a good timekeeper, you could work it out. You're a smart bloke. You could figure out how to be on time. Get yourself a watch, for instance.
Set your clock early.
You don't have a watch.
I just don't wear it.
Right.
It's here sitting on the side.
There you are. There's your problem.
I've got OCD.
Pop it on the old wrist, mate.
But I had to keep taking my watch off.
Why?
Because I've got OCD. I don't know. It's just a thing that I do.
Set the watch 10 minutes earlier than the actual time.
Yeah, but then I know it's 10 minutes early, so I've got loads of time.
I never really understand people that have their watch set at a different time to what is normal.
But that only works if somebody else sets your watch forward and doesn't tell you.
But you encounter these people all the time, and you look at their watch in the pub, and you go, is it really 10 to 3? And they go, no, it's 20 minutes fast. And they live their life like that.
But you say you're a bit OCD. Well, that surely isn't one of those compulsions that you need to be on time and precise and exact and everything?
Cleanliness.
No. It's not. Well, cleanliness, to a certain extent. Just, I think everybody has a certain amount of OCD, though.
To a degree.
Yeah.
To a degree, yeah.
I think, mine's not severe. I'm very lucky that it's not.
It's mid-range,
though. So what would be an example of your OCD-ness?
Well,
do you have to switch the light on and off, 10 times before you leave a room or something?
I'm doing stuff now.
What, even as we speak?
Yeah.
What, below the desk? Because I can't see.
I'm slightly worried, Sid.
I can only see one of your hands and I can't see below the legs.
Yeah, but I have to. So if I flick my thumbnail over my finger, I have to go back over it. And then I haven't done it properly, so I have to do it again.
Oh, my goodness. You're properly mental, aren't you?
Mm. I think
that's pretty severe. You think that's moderate. I think it's getting to severity. Because are you not also...
Oh, he's doing it now.
Do you not also do things with your tins in cupboards and things? Don't they all have to face this?
No, that's not OCD, Dave. That is sense. Because when you open the cupboard, you need to see what the tin is. So you may as well have all the labels facing the front at equidistance
from
each
other. And because you're always late, you haven't got time to turn the
tin. Haven't got time, Steve.
Do you remember that film, Sleep with the Enemy?
Yes. With the towels and stuff.
Yeah, he did all that.
Didn't he try to kill his wife, though?
Mm.
Yeah, and it doesn't go that far.
You're not at that level yet.
I'm not married.
Okay, well, there we are.
So,
safe.
But if you were...
It's fine.
But I have to, at home, my desk has to be perfectly tidy and everything has to be right before I can focus and concentrate. And
my
kids and wife come in and move things on purpose just to
annoy me. Makes sense. You know, you want a tidy workspace. Yeah. I understand that. But flicking your fingers, which he's doing now, even as we speak, is clearly the behaviour of a nut job.
You know, in the car...
Are
you one of those people, do you like all of the air vents to face the same way?
No,
I do.
And also, you know, in your car where you've got two different temperature things, do you like to have them both on the same numbers?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Let me ask you this, right? You're filling up your car with petrol.
Yes, sir.
Now, you want 20 pounds of petrol.
Yes, sir.
You fill it up, it goes to £20 and a penny.
Yes.
Do you then have to go to 25?
No.
You're okay with
that? I'm good.
You can move on.
I'm good.
I like to go to a round number. I don't like odd
numbers. Most people do, I think, on the petrol. Yeah.
I get scared of topping up. You know when it clicks off and you go, I still get a little bit more in, and I go... What's it like? It's like £25.60. I can get 26, and sometimes I get to 92. I'm not risking it anymore because I don't know what the cutoff point is.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to be.
There's another question then.
Keith Chegwin once set himself on fire because of that.
Well, I get covered in it myself because I'm always below where it's filling up.
Yeah,
when I'm
bad.
Doing it, it's above my head.
He should not have been smoking while he was filling his car up.
Well, no, that was after.
Chegwin's caught himself on fire. I've met the man many times. How have I not heard this story?
This is a very sad story and it's not a joke. So I don't want anybody laughing at or seeing any kind of amusement in it. When Keith was bad with the drink, as you know, he's an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. He doesn't drink anymore. Hasn't drunk for years. Keith was drinking a lot and woke up one day, had to pick Maggie up from the airport and realised he was late. So in a panic, still probably maybe a bit drunk, got in the car and bombed down to the airport, realised he had no petrol, was in a flat, was got really annoyed, took the petrol thing out, was pulling the trigger like that before he put it in the pump. Petrol goes all over him. He's like, oh, God's sake, got to fill up the car. Drives to the airport, parks up, flight's delayed. Time for a cigarette, not a problem.
No!
Wow. I think that was one of the times he went, maybe I should stop drinking.
Really?
Yeah. Have you not known that
story?
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
So, because of that, I'm always careful filling up my car with petrol.
Mm. If Cheggers has taught us nothing, it's to be careful around petrol.
It's to do with the relationship between cigarettes and petrol, essentially, isn't it? You know, and the fact that they don't mix.
No, they're not a good mixture. Really not. Well, anyway, look, let's play a song, and then, because we should do that, and then we'll come back and we'll talk more with Warwick and Stephen. And again, if there's any questions you have for us,
sure,
feel free.
You know, this is the first time for you on the show, Stephen.
Yeah, I'll try and think of something. Mm.
It's been such a long time. You haven't been on before.
Never invited me before.
Well, there was never a need. But now, I think we're at a place where...
Yeah, where you need us.
Well... We do.
Exactly.
Not in a desperate
The only
way,
guests
though.
You can get are David Beckham, for goodness sake.
I know. It's quite a day today. Yeah. So we'll play a song, then we'll come back with more from Stephen and Warwick. 6 minutes past nine. Warwick Davis and Stephen Merchant.
Yeah.
We've just been chatting with Warwick while Stephen was out at the toilet. The boys' toilet was engaged. Well, it's closed.
No, it's closed.
The girls' toilet was engaged. He had to use a disabled toilet. Yeah. Thank goodness we had three.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Otherwise, you could have been banjaxed.
I don't know. Is that a euphemism? I don't know what that means.
You'd have weed yourself.
I see. Okay.
Which wouldn't have been good.
No, for a man of your level.
At all.
Exactly.
So we're talking about the show. Me and Warwick were just saying off the air about the show, which is Life's Too Short. And I was saying, for me, I'm more uncomfortable with it than I thought I would be.
Mm.
And I was never uncomfortable with The Office. I was never uncomfortable with extras. And I'm surprised myself at being uncomfortable with this.
Why are you uncomfortable?
I don't know. And I just said to Warren, I think I've worked it out. I think because in The Office, it's not Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
Oh, that people say it's Ricky Gervais. But you know what I mean? He's playing a character. Yep. And in extras, it's a character. And in this, Ricky is Ricky, you are you, and Warwick is Warwick.
Right. But you know it's not the real Warwick.
I know, but I think my brain's going, you can't do that.
Is that as simple as the names, though? I mean, you know,
well,
literally,
I don't know.
If they would literally have different names, would that make you feel better?
I don't know, maybe. Because I really look forward to this. I remember you saying in April, you said, you know, it's going to be great, and I thought this is going to be really funny, it's going to be good. And I'm enjoying watching the show. There's only two episodes so far, but I'm enjoying it. But there's elements, and I'm really surprised myself, because I'm not normally shocked. And I don't know if I'm shocked is the right word, but the Johnny Depp scene where he's making you dance, I actually felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I'm really surprised.
Were you amused
at my reaction.
Or were you only uncomfortable? You were just busy flicking your fingers for the 28th time back.
I was sitting there like this.
Arranging his tins.
Yeah. must order things.
Watching it through his fingers.
Yeah.
Plumping the cushions on the sofa, sitting back down, plumping again.
But you know, there's a reason that you know, that scene, if you take that scene for example, you know, Warwick is there, he's doing that, he's desperate, he needs money. Johnny Depp's paying him £1,000 a day.
Oh, for £1,000 a day, I'd do
so
it.
So he's like, we're going along with this, and Johnny's acting all weird and you know, doing his research, and that's kind of what you end up with.
I think Johnny's weird in it as well. He's kind of demonic.
Yeah.
And I think that's a side you're not really seeing, because again, it's Johnny Depp being Johnny Depp.
Yes, sure. Yeah.
And you kind of go, but the Johnny Depp I've seen is very quiet and very, you know, kind of keeps his head down and whatnot. And here's this guy kind of cackling into a dictaphone going, Michael Flatley, dance like Michael Flatley, Riverdance.
I didn't know he was going to do that, by the way. That was all ad-libbed.
Oh, really?
I didn't know he was going to say that, yeah. So I hadn't actually perfected my Riverdance technique prior.
But are you surprised by the comments from it? Certainly the critics are having a bit of a field.
I'm not surprised at all. No, I in fact, our production company that made the show with the BBC, Ricky Nice Production Company, is called Backlash Productions.
Right.
For good reason. Mm. I was saying to Warwick earlier, there's a kind of plodding inevitability about the way your career pans out in this country, which is, you know, you're darlings, then you're sort of loathed, and then you either become much loved pieces of the furniture, as it were. Mm. You know, you're the Elton John or Stephen Fry, or you're not, or you're sort of, you're loathed forever.
Mm.
Who knows? But
so you think it's personal then?
I don't know what it is. I it doesn't concern me. I'm not. Mm. I'm genuine.
It is a very British thing to do, though.
Well, yeah, you support people on the way up, and then as soon as they may think that you've got too big or got to a certain level, then it's up to them to knock you down.
Well,
it's
curious to me what people will say, things like, "I did like the show, but I did laugh hysterically during the Liam Neeson scene." And you go, okay, Well, how many times have you got to laugh hysterically? I mean, does anyone remember what else happens in the episode of Del Boy Through the Hatch? I don't know what else happens in that episode, but that was a highlight and we remember it fondly. I don't know. I think if you want to criticise something, you can find something to criticise it for.
I think it's personal, though, you know, as far as against Ricky goes, you know what I mean? I think that if he's attached to something, somebody will want to have a go, do you know what I mean? And it annoys me a little bit that the critics are sort of able to take this moral high ground about the show. You know, I'm sure I've lived with it for 41 years. The things that happen in the show, many of them have happened to me. And this is, you know, and it's looking at the way that the attitudes of average-sized people and the world has, you know, towards people who are different and short, which is what Ricky and Stephen have always done brilliantly in their previous work in The Office and Extras as well, is highlighted the prejudices and the way that people are towards you know, people with disabilities, etc., you know, just because of ignorance.
Is it therefore because you've been involved?
This is getting quite
I know,
weird,
isn't it?
But sorry, do you want to know why I started on Scissorhands? You know, the light at the beginning, so it, you know, before it goes all question time,
but,
like.
Because Warwick, you're involved in the sort of the creative process as well. See, if you were just a jobbing actor and coming in, do you think therefore that it would maybe get more criticism because they'd say, "Oh, well, you may be being exploited"?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
because you're involved in how the plot structure goes and blah blah blah, and you're therefore.
Well, I'm one of the creators of the show, and you know, I own the joke in a sense, don't I? So, I mean, it's. You know, if anybody can do this, I should be allowed to. It's very patronising when people say this shouldn't be happening, this shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah,
you know,
you should be ashamed of yourself.
Is that your personal opinion?
No. I just wondered if someone's going to say that to you, then you should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, they haven't yet. I mean, everywhere I'm going, people are loving the show.
It's not far off it with some of the critics, though, is it?
It's no, but I mean, really? Out there, you know, on the streets, public are loving the show. Seriously, I've been in a lot of big movies. Don't know whether I've mentioned them, but...
and Scissorhands.
You know, and Celebrity Scissorhands. And the reaction has never been quite like this. It's amazing, the support. You know, people wanted to do high fives, which obviously is a little bit difficult, everywhere I go.
Low fives.
Yeah, that's what I prefer.
But you've got big hands. You've got bigger hands than I have.
Have I?
Yeah. I've got very small hands.
Thank goodness you've moved it to something mundane again, Chris. Yeah. It was getting a bit highbrow there, but you saw the hands, you thought, let's go for that.
I was wobbling. I saw the service as I pulled off. I had to have a little break. But you do. I've got small hands. Yeah. You've got, you know.
Pianist's fingers.
I want something a bit harsh.
Yeah. Pianist.
Pianist. Pianist. It's hard to say this time in the morning, but yes, I used to play the piano.
And then what happened?
I didn't do enough practice.
Right. Well, take it up again.
End of anecdote.
Interview
it's going nowhere.
Well, if you haven't seen the show yet, then you should. It's on Thursday night, as I said, on BBC Two. And if you're enjoying it, then you will continue to enjoy it. What, six episodes, is it?
Seven in total.
Seven. Yes. When? And it's done with HBO. Is it on in America now?
No, I think it comes on in February. Is that right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see the Americans' reaction to it.
Absolutely. Are they more liberal than we are? Who knows?
No, they just don't hate me and Ricky as much. Yet.
Back to that inevitability.
Do you know what? But I think back to what you were saying, I do think that's a very British thing.
It doesn't concern me. I've seen it with lots of people I admire as well. I remember there was a period when Stephen Fry was just constantly being kind of criticised for who's this Ponce coming on the telly being highfalutin with his long words, pretentious. Now he's a national treasure. Yeah. It happens all the time.
I don't think it is personal. You said it's personal. I don't think it is. I think that just becomes an excuse to be like that. I do. I think we're all a little bit like that. And if you can hook on something, the thing about Ricky Gervais is, or the thing about these is, then you hook it. But actually, I think, you know, we're all a little bit like that. And when I was doing stuff in America, at Sirius, this is this satellite radio station which rebroadcasts Radio 1, and it's got like 100-odd radio, different radio channels, and Elvis radio, and Beatles radio, and a hip-hop channel, and a rock channel, and blah, blah, blah. And I was saying to the guys there, you know, because most of it's on tape, they record it, and I'm like, if you, instead of having 100 channels, you could have 50 channels, and they'd be better. Live DJs in there, more resources, it would be better. And he said, yeah, but that's the difference between British and America is, why have 50 when you can have 150? That's how we think. Whereas you guys would go, well, 150 is too much. And I went, but 150 is too much. Yeah, you're right.
right.
You're right. I didn't say that.
So I think it's quality, not quantity, which I'm proof of, I think.
Well,
There you are.
See?
Oh, smooth.
Yeah, look nice.
What an operator.
It's on his business card.
Well, will you give my love to Ricky?
Of course, always, yeah.
You know. Oh, that was what I meant to ask you. Was I voted the most hated man on radio on your show?
Do you know, I can't... I would not be at all surprised if that happened. I'm sure we bad-mouthed you almost every week, but I can't remember that in specifically. I mean, it may have occurred. I can't honestly say...
Did I get an award? Was it merely like a poll?
If it was a vote, though, it wouldn't have been our fault. We you know, they may... I mean, admittedly, you might have been the only nominee.
Yeah, but, it could have been on the shortlist, written by you.
Exactly. I can't remember. Certainly, I'm sure we slagged you off probably most weeks.
Yeah, I think so.
I would presume so, but I can't remember.
Would I still be on... Would I still win that poll now?
Among our listeners or our fan base?
Yeah.
That's difficult to say. I don't know. I wouldn't want to comment on your popularity amongst our demographic.
And with yourself, how would...
Where would you rank?
Yeah.
Well, I don't listen to your show, so I can't...
Right.
I can't sort of badmouth it because...
Well, you listened to quite a lot of it today.
I have. No, I've enjoyed it. It's been a very fun chit-chat.
Yeah, David Beckham on. We had quiz.
Beckham, you had the quiz. I was cut out of the quiz.
Well...
Which is a great
show. In many ways, I think we should have let you take part in the quiz. Sort of include...
You weren't cut out of the quiz, just Warwick was included in the quiz.
I think the reason that Chris would have ever been on our radar was because when we first started, Ricky and I recorded some kind of, I don't know what you'd call them exactly, the little sort of comedy sketches that were played during the day. It was something to do with students seeking accommodation or don't smoke or something. And I seem to remember you slagging us off.
Right.
Before you knew who we were, before we were anyone.
Right.
I seem to remember it being played and we just were listening to see if it was on at all. And you came off the back of it and went, three words, hail and pace.
Is that what I did?
That's what you did. And so I suspect, you know... Consequently, I think that was when you were on in the afternoons. So my suspicion was we took against you at that point.
And can you remember the sketch?
Yeah, I remember it was funny, actually. It was...
But it was... Was it funny in a Hale and Pace way?
Well, what's wrong with that?
What? Exactly. But did I say it was bad?
Yeah, no, you were very negative to it, yeah.
What, three words, Hale and Pace?
I think you were probably more sort of neurotic in those days. I think you were probably fearful that anyone else might do comedy on Radio 1. Whereas now, I think you'd probably be more chilled out.
Oh, God, I'm way more fearful now.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Fear whatsoever.
Oh, I see, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
Then, I wouldn't have heard it. I might have just come off the back of it and gone, Hale and Pace.
Sure, yeah. On with Simply Red.
But I'm way more paranoid and scared for my life now than I was. That was bulletproof in those days.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that was probably why we took against you.
Well, I hope we can.
I've got no animosity. No, that was a long time ago. I've won a lot of awards since then.
Right.
I'm okay. But just in case you wondered why we'd have ever turned.
Maybe I kind of spurred you on.
Yeah, exactly.
Prove me wrong.
Exactly.
Maybe subconsciously I am the inspiration for your success.
You're absolutely right. That's why I've brought one of these BAFTAs for you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I don't have one of those. Why would
I? Give it time.
Well, I'm not going to hold my breath. I don't think I'd get one for quiz night.
Are you going to come to the stand-up show, by the way, Chris?
Well, you know what? I'm just having a look at the dates. Three shows in London.
No, what are you talking about? I've got far more than that. I've got hordes of shows in London.
Oh, it runs out.
It goes on forever in London.
Do we not get page two?
I've quite fancy... You're in Dublin tonight.
Yeah. I've got to jet off as soon as I leave here.
You really do?
Yeah.
Are you going to bring Warwick with you? Dublin would love that.
do you get a discount on flights?
I don't know whether I'm that welcome in Dublin after the Leprechaun movies, to be honest.
I know, I think you'd be fine.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Okay.
They'll have a drink and they'll be fine. They forgive and forget very easily, the Irish. Mm. Well, depending on
what you're
doing.
They forget certainly very easily.
Well, they do. Dublin, Tuesday and Wednesday. Bradford on Thursday. Bournemouth on Friday. Wolverhampton on Saturday. Who put this schedule together?
It's crazy, isn't it?
Jeez.
Mm. Yeah.
They don't like you very much.
Clearly not.
Edinburgh Monday, Bournemouth on Tuesday, Inverness on Wednesday.
It's not unlike that, you're right.
They've got you all over the place.
His carbon footprint is massive, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Are you enjoying it, though?
No.
You're really not?
I enjoy, you know, being on stage and entertaining people, but then the rest of it is exhausting. The travel, the hotels. You know, the hotels are lovely, but I don't want to see another club sandwich.
How many people are with you on this trip?
The support guy and my sort of tour manager, so
right.
Two.
So it's not like you've got... An entourage of people.
No entourage.
Like that kind of tour bus friendly mentality, exactly. That fun rock and roll lifestyle.
I thought there would be a lot more rock and roll. I thought there'd be a lot more jacuzzis, you know, filled with champagne, beautiful women.
Yeah. Doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. No. I don't know what I've done wrong. So it's gutting.
Really?
Absolutely gutting.
Is it a bit disappointing?
This is my, I've said before, this is my debut tour and my final farewell tour.
Is it really?
That's how I feel at the moment. Yeah.
So the actual going on stage and doing the show, brilliant. And everything else around
that. Everything else is exhausting and miserable, yeah.
Oh, man, oh, I feel for you.
Thank you.
And Steve, when you come out the stage door, do you find that the same people are waiting there at various venues?
No, they because go, even those crazies are not willing to travel from Cambridge to Glasgow.
You could give some people a lift.
That's true, yeah, yeah.
Why don't you say in Dublin, oh, in Bradford on Thursday, has anybody got nothing to do? Do you want to come with me now to Bournemouth? Do you do that?
Trek and a half.
Now, would you travel during the day? So you could play Bradford in the evening.
Right, exactly.
Would you stay there in the evening and then travel in the...
Probably. That would probably make sense, yeah.
Well, there you go. You could all meet at 9 o'clock the next day.
Take the day off work and go to Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring a camera.
Yeah.
Film it. Have some fun. Mm-hmm. Find a jacuzzi.
Sure.
Everyone jump in.
Yeah.
Thanks. Have you just printed off the rest of the tour dates? Yeah. Right, hang on. How long have we got? London, next week then. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
That's a lot.
Are tickets still available?
And more. I think there's more beyond that as well.
Oh,
but
really?
Anyway, yeah, so anyway, people can check websites.
Oh, yeah, you're right. See that stuff, yeah. If you'd like to see Stephen Merchant, then type in Stephen Merchant tour dates.
Yeah.
And they'll appear.
Brilliant.
Paul Warwick is not on tour, but his paperback of his book is out.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
Yeah, size matters not.
Size matters not.
Yes.
In paperback, which is like... handy then if you go in on a plane.
So even if you have it in hardback, you could buy it in paperback as well.
Yeah.
For travel purposes.
Is there an e-version available, Warwick?
Yeah. There is an e-book version, yes. Oh, okay. There is available for all good e-book
readers.
Is
there an audio version?
No, not yet.
No. Right,
there will be.
Didn't do that well.
There will be. No, it's just that I haven't got around to recording it yet. But
well, hurry up, because the hardback's been out, the paperback's now. When are you planning on doing it?
Well, you do it
like George Lucas.
Well, then everybody buys everything.
Not time for Blu-ray yet. No. We'll wait.
Well, I wanted to see how the market was and, you know,
right,
all that sort of thing.
But now for Christmas is good.
Yeah, I don't think I have it done before Christmas. I don't know.
But the paperback.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's ideal.
It's a great present.
Ideal.
Mm.
But I went through the airport the other day and it was there on a low shelf, which was great, so I could see it.
Nice.
But they stuck a half price sticker over my face.
Oh,
yes. Really someone fair, did that to my DVD. I was furious.
Yeah.
That's a bored shop assistant, isn't it? Just getting a couple of giggles. In their day.
See, I would have loved that when my book was out. If I'd have seen it, that would have been great. I'd have been happy just seeing it in the shop. When we released the album, the parody album we did, it got to number 14 of the chart. And I went to HMV in Westfield, and number 14 in the chart was Pixie Lott in their shop.
Oh.
And I couldn't see it. So I asked at the council.
You asked at the council for your own CD?
Yeah.
Did you say, have you got Chris Moore's parody
album? No, I asked for the manager.
Whoa, did you kick off?
No, I didn't kick off. I was buying some stuff because it was Christmas. So I'm buying Christmas presents and I went, oh, and let's have a look at the album chart where I am. I'm not there. I'm not even there. I'm nowhere.
Mm.
And I went up to buy my stuff and said, is the manager in? She goes, no, he's on his lunch. She goes, is there a problem? I went, is there a problem? Let me tell you this. Do you know what the number 14 album is this week? I do. And let me tell you, that's not it. And she went, all right. I said, it's mine. So she went, okay. I went, and if I don't, I'm buying stuff from your shop. And if I'm not selling any albums, I won't be able to afford to come back and buy
perfect
stuff.
Logic. Yeah.
So really, if you think about it, it's customer service to make sure that my album is up on the shelves instead of Pixie Lott. Move her down. I think you'll find she's 15. I'm 16. So she goes, okay. A mate of mine went in the next day and said, you're number 14 in the chart. Yeah. And I'm like, why didn't I tell him I was number 3? What an idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
Why didn't I do that?
But it needed you to point it out and reorder their shelving.
Yeah.
I've done that, though. I've wandered around a bookshop trying to look inconspicuous, seeing if my book's there.
Have you moved your book yet? Have you not done that?
To a better position.
I can't reach any of the good positions.
Have you done that with the DVD?
Oh, of course, yeah. That's what I'm going to do between now and that flight to Dublin.
But
I'm just going
to
go around all the central London shops. I was walking down the street once with Ricky, and a homeless guy, came up with a carrier bag, and he went, all right, lads, I just nicked your DVD. And he had a bag of our DVDs that he just pinched. He said, it's easy to get it. And I'm not going to tell you how to steal from a shop.
Right,
but
okay,
yeah, he told us the entire formula.
Perfect.
Yeah. Which is honest of him.
You should have signed
him. I'm going to pop him on eBay.
There you go. Perfect. If he had a computer. Sure. To bring it down at the end. Well, listen, what you might mean, not saying?
One song before news.
Oh, one song before news. All right. We can do one song before the news. Thanks for coming in. Thursday night, then, on BBC Two. Make sure you're watching it. Life's Too Short with Warwick Davis, star of such films as Return of the Jedi, Willow, that gets mentioned every week.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, yeah.
Hang on, don't look as if you don't know. There's a huge list. You should use your computer resources to have my...
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Yes.
Labyrinth. Come in, Labyrinth.
Labyrinth.
Yeah.
David Bowie.
That was the film, by the way, not the song in the charts at the moment by the artist. Labyrinth. Warwick isn't Labyrinth, by the way, for those of you who think when he's not acting, he's in the studio making dance records. That's not you.
No, it's not me. I'm a terrible singer.
Stephen makes those and just uses the name. So, well, good luck with Dublin tonight. That'll
Thank
be good.
You.
There'll be a great crowd in Dublin.
You hope so.
Yeah. No, they will be. And two nights. And if you're staying at a big hotel, you might actually get your jacuzzi moment.
This is the dream, Chris. That's what I'm shooting for.
It could happen. Invite someone up for a jacuzzi.
Yeah. That's some invite, though, isn't it?
Person.
Come on. Well, why not?
Yeah. Mm.
Absolutely. And then give him a few DVDs to take home as a little present of the tour.
Exactly.
All right, well, nice to see you. Thank you for coming in. Ladies and gentlemen, the very lovely Stephen Merchant and Warwick Davis.
Thank
Thursday night, watch the show on BBC Two. Go and see Stephen on tour and buy Warwick's paper manual. I'm going to pick up...